Hey, 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 listeners, welcome to Art Life with Irenia. I'm your host, Irenia Roussel. I'm so excited to have you back here with me. And to those of you listening for the first time, welcome back. This week, we're changing things up. We're going to talk about finances and building financial wealth with my guest, Jennifer Leger, the co-founder of Cuber. Now, Cuber is an app that helps people with their build their financial literacy as it relates to saving money. And you're going to hear all about this in this episode. I had Jennifer, incidentally, on the Canadian Side Hustle and Business podcast, and I thought it would be timely to introduce her to our global audience, since at this time she is seeking a business development professional so that she can expand her business from Canada into the US. Yes, yes, you heard that right. So, in this episode today, you know, we really took a deep dive into some of the challenges she faced in raising financial capital, you know, to power up her company. We talked about the importance of choosing the right co-founder, which she did, and also she revealed some of the secrets to building a strong team culture. Of course, we talked about the current November challenge, which is going to help first-time homeowners. But I'm not going to reveal too much because we gotta get into this episode. Let's do this. Before we get started, listeners, as you know, I want you to do three things for me. For those of you who are just joining, listen up. At the end of the episode, follow the podcast on your audio player, wherever you listen to your podcast. Then I want you to head over to Apple Podcasts, rate and review this episode. Let me know what you think about it. Three, your last one, I want you to share it with a friend who you think will find this useful, especially the actionable tips that you're going to get in there as it relates to the best use of social media. After all, there is a golden nugget in there for everyone. Awesome. Now let's get this started. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. I'm super excited to have you on because you've been on one of my podcasts before, the Canadian Side Hustle and Business podcast. And I'm just happy to have you on this global channel, you know, really talking about your message of building financial wealth.
Yes, it is very exciting. I'm happy to have access to people around the world and talk about this topic, especially during, you know, this important month of November for Financial Literacy Month.
Yeah, awesome. So let's get our listeners, you know, a chance to know you. Let's talk about Jen, you know, and how did she become the woman that she is today?
All right. Well, first of all, I was born and raised in Fredericton, New Brunswick. So I've lived here all my life. I now live in Moncton, New Brunswick, not too far away from where you are. And I am first and foremost a mother of two kids, so one 13-year-old girl and an 11-year-old boy.
All right.
And I graduated in Fredericton, actually, at University of New Brunswick. So my background is in, I have a degree in computer science. And I've been working for several years, and the majority of the work that I did was actually in the gaming / gambling industry. And it was in that industry where I really grew like this keen interest to understand more about psychology and people's behavior and how it impacts the things that they do. And also, you know, really what drives people to make change with the habits that they develop.
All right. So I like that. You know, you're driven in terms of looking at people's behavior. And as a result of that stint that you were in with this company, you developed your business. Tell us a little bit about your business, because I think our listeners, it's really important for them to know what you do.
and how you did it.
Yes, awesome. So Cuber is an app that's helping people save money. And I'll go back to the reason why we created this app. So personal finance was really a struggle of mine. So I never had an issue. You know, I graduated with computer science, so I always had fairly well-paying jobs, middle income, but I was one of those people living paycheck to paycheck. And one thing I've learned over the years is that it really doesn't matter what income level people have. There's people at all levels, low to high, who are living this kind of paycheck to paycheck cycle. And so I was one of those people, and the tools that were out there at the time were kind of, you know, budgeting tools, pie charts, things that showed you where you spent your money, but did nothing to actually change your behavior. So it was kind of like in the past, and you know, yeah, that was a dumb idea, or those were some bad choices I made last month, but you know, yeah. Here's a new month and maybe it'll be different, even though it never is, right?
Yeah.
So with the things that I learned in the gaming industry, you know, about really like habit forming, what needs to be done. There's a lot of gamification. Obviously, there's a lot of like psychology that goes on in that industry. So mm-hmm. I wanted to take a lot of those learnings and bring it into a personal finance tool that really changed people's behavior, because these people's spending behaviors are ingrained in them from the time that they probably get their first job. You know, yeah. So, you know, could be working at McDonald's and you start getting a paycheck. And you start building these habits. And even maybe before, when you start getting Christmas money from your grandparents or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
So really like figuring out how can we change that behavior so that you actually think before you spend your money and make, you know, make new habits with your money.
That's awesome. So
that's where it started. It was a personal problem of mine. And then once we started looking into the problem, we really found, you know, that there's a lot of people who are struggling with this problem. You know, I wasn't the only one, and I'm still not. There's probably about 50% or maybe even more at this point that are living paycheck to paycheck. So it's like really a big problem mm-hmm. that we wanted to tackle. But I think, you know, the tool that we have, it's been out now for 3 years mm-hmm. and it is having really great results. It's really helping people learn to save money for the things that they want to buy instead of putting it on their credit card. And it's really just helping people with their day-to-day money management.
Well, I love that, you know, you say that in terms of teaching people habits to save versus habits to spend, because exactly. We know we're bombarded by advertisement, whether we're in the car and listening to the radio, or we're in front of the TV, or we're in front of the computer, in front of the internet, we are bombarded by advertisement to spend. So it's great that you found the pain in the market and you're finding a solution to help people to save. And in terms of the app, you know, if somebody wanted to use the app, what would they do?
Yeah, so it's quite easy to use. So right now we're in Canada only, but we are kind of slowly making our way into the US. So we're hoping to be there in early 2022. Mm-hmm. So what happens is you download the app from the App Store. It is called Cuber, Q-U-B-E-R. And you need to do a registration. It's fairly easy. You add your email, you know, your first name, last name, that kind of information. And then you sign up for your first saving challenge. So we have all kinds of different saving challenges in the app. And any saving challenge that you do, you earn 2% cash rewards if you complete the challenge. So 2% is better than any bank is offering on a savings account at this point. And it really motivates you to make sure that you meet that end goal. So we have something like save $500 in a year. We have people who are saving $5,000 in a year. But for each one of them, you earn 2% rewards. So you decide when you want to start your challenge, you decide the frequency of withdrawals. So most people line it up with their paycheck. And And then you add your daily banking account. All we need is the same information that you would use for a bill payment. So that's how we withdraw money from the account and move it into your saving account. So think of Cuber as your digital savings account. Your money is held at arm's length. But if you need your money back, it's very easy. You would cash it out and it moves back into your daily bank account. People really like the fact that we hold it separately from their daily bank account. And I think it's one of the things that we always recommend to people because it's arm's length. So it's not like it's right in the same account. It's easy to transfer back and forth. This is really kind of separate from your spending account. And you're not as tempted to dip into it and spend it.
All right. Wow. I guess, in this time, even now, there are many people who are looking to save, a lot. And you talk about challenges, right? So what is your current challenge you have going right now that's really firing you up for the month of November?
So business-wise, our challenges right now are, of course, reaching employers. So our model is to sell to employers as a financial wellness benefit. So users can download Cuber on their own, but there's a lot of employers who are offering even better incentives to their employee base to help their employee base build an emergency fund. So reaching the employers that are interested. So we do a lot of, cold calling, emailing. We're seeing a lot of interest from the people that we reach, but there's millions of businesses in Canada alone. So just, we always ask our user base, hey, let your employers know that this is available. If it's a benefit that interests you, let them know so that we can have a chat with them. And then I guess the second thing is, as any startup will ever say, is raising finances. We, of course, have to put a lot of effort into that. And so those are the two big things that we're working on for this year.
All right. That's awesome. Now, you talk about, employers helping employees in terms of a benefit to help them to build their emergency funds. As an individual, who's thinking about personal financial planning and savings, what sort of funds should they have put away? Everybody says you gotta have an emergency fund, but is that the only type of fund that one should have put away?
We focus mainly on helping people because a lot of the people that come in to use Cuber are people who are really living paycheck to paycheck, who have high interest debt that they need to pay off. Who don't have an emergency fund. So if your dishwasher breaks down or whatever it is, then you end up turning to your credit card, getting further into debt to pay for these kind of emergencies, right? So we always suggest if you have high interest debt, first of all, pay that off. Then we suggest having that emergency fund so that you can stay out of dipping into any kind of high interest debt. And then, of course, you need to think about retirement. So retirement's a big one. And here in Canada, we have something called a TFSA product. So we also recommend that to our users. So build the habit of saving money within Cuber, build up your nest egg. And then once you reach a certain level, take some of that money and put it into TFSA where it will continue to grow. So those are the things that we recommend to our users.
All right. Awesome. Now, you talk about employers helping their employees in terms of, this being a financial benefit. So what sort of companies are you seeing out there who's modeling this type of behavior?
Yeah, there's quite a number of companies who are doing it. So one of our key customers here in Canada are Levi's. So the jeans. And they've been a very big proponent of offering this to their employee base. So their interest is really to help their employees build up an emergency fund. But not only that, but really develop that habit of saving money for their employees. So they want it to last a lifetime. They really want to help them change their behavior. The employers that are interested in offering this benefit, I think the most important stat is that right now, money is the number one cause of stress for people. And the problem is that stress comes into the workplace, right? So people are less productive when they're stressed, and it really impacts their performance at work. So it makes sense that employers would want to get involved and help reduce the financial stress that people have. And what we see is that a lot of employers, and I think a lot of traditional benefits, have focused on the retirement savings, which is great. That's also needed. But the stress that people are feeling, are they're not feeling it about, you know, when they're going to retire. They're feeling it because they're having a hard time managing their daily expenses. They're having a hard time because they have a high level of debt. They're living paycheck to paycheck. They have difficulty saving money. And the traditional benefits aren't tackling these issues.
I like that you say that this app is an app for everyone, right? So it doesn't matter what your status is, you know, in terms of the level of salary you have. It's about the money coming in, the money going out, and if you're saving, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And we've worked with a lot of like not-for-profits that work with low-income individuals as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people think, oh, you know, I'm on a low income, I don't have any money to save, but it's not true. You don't have to save a big amount. Even if you put away $10 a week, it makes a big difference, right? So that's maybe, you know, a lunch out that you could reduce, or something that you can change in your spending. And, you know, it starts to accumulate. It starts to make a difference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So right now for the month of November, you have a challenge that you're advertising. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Yes. So for this month, for Financial Literacy Month, we partnered with a company called Bromwich & Smith mm-hmm. in Canada. And what we're doing with them is offering a saving challenge. So like I said, we have lots of different saving challenges in the app, and they always earn cash rewards. This one's a little bit unique. It's the first time we've ever done this. So when people join the Bromwich & Smith saving challenge in the app, the challenge is to save $150 in 3 months. So that's $50 a month. And if people are successful, then they're earning $10 on that money. So $10 straight away in cash rewards. If they, which is great, right? But in addition, so this is kind of the different piece about this challenge, is that as soon as they add the challenge, they're getting access to additional pieces of financial literacy in the app. So there's already all kinds of financial literacy that we have featured in the app, but this is giving access to even more topics. Some of the topics, it's all content provided by Bromwich & Smith. Some of it's about finance and divorce. Some of it's about, you know, an introduction to creating a financial plan. Talks about, you know, credit card debt, retail therapy. So all really interesting topics that people get for free when they sign up for the challenge.
That's awesome. Listeners, you know, definitely check it out. For those of you in Canada, you want to check it out. And, you know, you talk about when you had the idea and you started off the business and you've launched. It's 3 years, it's thriving, it's doing well. Let's go back a bit and talk about, you know, you as the entrepreneur building that business and trying to get people to believe in this idea of yours to finance it. How did you go about doing it? And what are some of the challenges you faced along the way?
That's funny. So this is always a big struggle for probably all startup companies.
Yeah.
When we started, so we actually started with the idea, the concept of Cuber in 2016. Mm-hmm. And that's when we incorporated. And so we didn't have any of the technology done, anything like that, but we had the idea. And at that time, there was really no such thing as fintech. So fintech became kind of a thing, you know, probably a couple years later, then you really started hearing that word more and people understood what it meant.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we were trying to raise money here in our area in New Brunswick, and a lot of the time we hear like, no, nobody's going to give their bank account information. Nobody's going to use this app. Like, the, you know, the banks can do it. And, you know, now people give their bank account information on Facebook, to Amazon, all these other companies now are coming in. There's a lot of smaller digital players that are coming in Canada, in the US, and across the world that are, you know, challenging these big banks. So I think that was really challenging for us because it's much more conservative in this area. So there was a couple of competitors within Canada, and they were able to raise probably triple the amount of money that we were from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that amount of money makes a big difference when you're first getting started. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just like the amount of risk that people here in our area are willing to take. But now when you take a look, like New Brunswick's becoming one of the fintech regions, you know, in Canada. So there's definitely much more support now than there was back then.
Well, that's excellent. And did you face any regulatory challenges to get it up?
Yeah, that was interesting. That was probably one of the biggest challenges that we had because, again, fintech was new. So it was really kind of, first of all, we had to find a banking partner. That would be willing to work with us. And we were kind of seen, of course, as a competitor to them. So nobody really wanted to be that bank that held our funds for the users, on behalf of the users, right? Because we're not a bank. So we actually partnered and did a pilot project early on with Omista Credit Union, which is a credit union here in New Brunswick. And they were really... I don't know. They were very like almost like innovative and understanding fintech and could see where it was heading and really willing to work with us. And the pilot project was to see, okay, will users that use bank accounts all across Canada, so these are like RBC, CIBC, you know, the big banks.
Yes.
Will they move? Will they use Cuber and actually deposit their savings into Omista Credit Union? And that was what the pilot was. And it was very successful. So now we have over $3 million that are sitting in savings of like all our users' collective savings are sitting.
That's fantastic.
But you know, finding out, okay, what are the regulations that we need to be able to move this money? So of course we had to work with FinTrack. There's different regulations and we had to make sure, and the bank also had to make sure that we meet those criteria. So once we figured out what they were and once we found a partner that was willing to work with us, then it went more smoothly. And since then we're also working with another credit union in Ontario called Alterna Savings. But they're also working with us to hold some deposits. So now, like I said, we're looking to move into the United States and we're going through the same sort of process. So of course they have different regulations there. Looking for a different banking partner to start things out in the States and also get through, you know, we have legal involved, figuring out, okay, what are the regulations that we need to have in place for a launch in the States?
All right. So we know with every startup, first you've got to get the money to start up, but also you've got the legal hurdles that you have to face. And of course, hiring good people. You know, how did you go about putting your team together and scaling that?
Yeah, so my partner and I both have been in, you know, IT for many years. So actually finding the help and the team to help us build this was fairly easy for us just because we have a network in technology, especially in this area. So that was not a problem. Building the software wasn't a problem for us.
Okay.
Where we're struggling actually, and maybe we'll find somebody here, is we need somebody to come on and help us sell. So we have all these employers, like I was saying, there's millions. And then once we get into the States, that'll just open up, you know, many, many more opportunities. So we're looking for a real dedicated salesperson to come and join our team. and help us reach these people and help us grow.
All right. Awesome. You heard that, listeners. A job for you.
Exactly.
All right. Awesome. And then, you know, there is the concept of, you know, or not concept. So as a leader, as an owner of a company, you have a team and you're leading, you know, and building your team. You know, what sort of leadership are you infusing within the organization to have a tight-knit culture?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think number one, you have to like be willing to do just about anything, right? And especially as a founder, I think there's probably not an area of the business that I haven't got my hands into, as far as like, you know, accounting. I've done some of the development, testing, product design, marketing, sales. I call customers too. So I think, you know, you have to just get in there and do whatever is needed, and whoever needs help, get in there and support them. And, you know, just show them that you're willing to be there for them, and show them your work ethics, and make sure that they're on board with the problem. I think solving the problem, I think people, they really need to be bought into the idea and be excited about solving this problem. That's key. When we can find employees that really believe in the problem and want to solve it with us, then that makes for a perfect team.
All right. Definitely having that mentor, that leader in the company that really infuses the organization, as you said, leading by example based on what you've been saying. So as an individual throughout your career, you've had people who've touched your life. Can you think of anyone pivotal that have helped to change the trajectory of your journey that is still evolving, of course? Yeah.
That is a good question. So I would say probably the one who has helped me most as far as business and you know, running this company is my co-founder, Venky. So Venky's had, you know, many different C-level positions throughout his career. He's worked a lot in the States at big companies, and he'd also worked at some startups as well. So we complement each other very, very well. So he has all the skills that I didn't have at all, like sales, you know, the finances of the company. I had never touched any of these pieces in business before. And so he's really helped teach me and show me the way and, you know, mentor me throughout those phases. We've had a lot of really great advisors that have come in and helped both of us as well. So we don't know everything. And so we really lean on the advisors and the mentors that we've had throughout, you know, different accelerator programs that we've done. But I would say, like, as far as what I've learned outside of technology and what I've learned about business, I would definitely give kudos to Venky for that.
All right. That's awesome. And for those individuals who have great ideas out there, who are thinking about starting your business, you know, how important is it for them to find the right co-founder based on your experience?
Oh, my goodness. To find a partner to found a company with is,
yes,
like you have, it's going to be tough. Like, you have to find somebody that you can trust. Think about it as like having a roommate almost, because you will be talking with this person every day. You're running a business together. So you have to trust that person, like, pretty much with your life, because this is a huge part of your life. So you really have to trust them. You have to know them. Like, you have to understand each other and communicate. You know, sometimes you're not going to agree on things, and you have to be able to work through that. Yeah, you can't pick a partner lightly. Like, you have to be, know that you can trust them and know that you'll make it through the long haul, because this is not a year long endeavor that you're taking on. This, you know, this is years of your life. And yeah.
I love that you say that, you know, trust And you have to understand that person. You know, some people say, you know, it's someone I want to work with who I can walk through the fire and they'll walk in with me and get to the other side.
That is true.
All right.
You know, I'm sure one day we'll celebrate, but I can tell you there's been a lot of fire. So you definitely together.
That's cool. You hear that, listeners? You find the right founder, okay?
So very important.
Yeah. So in terms of financial literacy, you know, and we know it's November and it's financial literacy month. How important is that, you know, for everyone?
Yeah, I think financial literacy is just a huge part of everybody's life, because honestly, if you're stressed about money and you're not educated on how to manage your money, then you will have that stress, right? Because you just don't know what to do or how to manage it, and you don't know how to plan ahead. Yeah. So it's really important, because that stress, it'll affect all aspects of your life, right? It affects your job, it affects your health, and it definitely affects a lot of relationships. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, understanding, building up your financial education. The other thing that's really important, I think, is, you know, you never know what's going to happen in your life. So in some cases, you see one partner over the other managing the money, which is okay, but just make sure that the other partner is also educated and understands, because you just don't know what's going to happen in your life. So it's important for everybody. And I think it's most important for kids.
Yes.
To be educated. So when they get out and get their first job, you know, get them in the habit early of saving money first, because if they build that habit from the time that they're kid, it'll just be natural for them.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. My goodness. I love this. So, you know, what's firing you up? You know, what's next within the app?
Yeah. So one of the things that we're going to be starting really soon, because we do a lot of surveys, we ask our users a lot, okay, what is it that you would like to see in the app and how can we help you? And so traditionally our saving challenges have all been focused on helping people build an emergency fund, which is very important. But what we're seeing is there's a big chunk, I think it's like 35% of our users will be in the market to buy a house, you know, in the next few years. So it's not an immediate thing, but they want to start saving for a home down payment, because you need to have quite a chunk of money saved to buy your first house. And from what we understand across Canada, that's about $25,000. Mm-hmm. So we are going to have a saving challenge in Cuber to help people build up a home down payment. And it's going to be a longer challenge, the longest challenge we've ever had. So typically we do year long challenges. This is going to be a 3-year challenge where the users will save $25,000 in 3 years, and they will earn, of course, 2% on that money. So they'll earn it over a period of time. So most of our challenges, people earn the incentives at the end of the challenge and that's it. But because this is such a long challenge, we're going to give the incentives every time they save money, they'll earn a little bit of money. So hopefully that'll motivate them to keep going, because it is so long. So they'll see that they're making progress and they'll be earning these incentives. And the cool thing about this challenge is that once they get in the habit of saving this money, it's going to turn into their mortgage payment. So the amount of money that they're saving, they'll be used to saving it. And then when they do get a mortgage, they'll be used to that money coming out either biweekly or monthly, however they choose to do it.
That's absolutely fantastic. I remember when we were saving for our first down payment, which was at that time $5,000. And it was such a big fit, because we had just gotten out of university with our first jobs. And I can tell you, it was a struggle to get there, but we did get there. So it's awesome that, you know, you have that opportunity for, you know, young career professionals who are looking at their first home. So that's fantastic, right?
Yeah. And then the other thing that'll happen is for people who do join this challenge, then they'll get tailored education in the app about what you need to think about when you get a mortgage, what else you need to think about that you're going to need when you get your first house. So what other expenses come along with that? And then information, you know, learning about, okay, there's now insurance that you need to think about and all these other things that maybe first time house owners aren't aware of. So we'll educate them on top.
That's for sure. You know, one of the questions we ask, insurance, do we need this? What if something happens? Then who's going to pay the loan?
Exactly, right.
Oh my goodness. That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
So for the families out there, for the young career professional, the single mom, the grandmother, the grandfather out there, you know, what advice do you have for them during the month of November and for the rest of their lives?
Well, again, I think the biggest piece of advice I can give is every time you get some money, save some of that money first. So kind of like instead of spending it, save it first and then spend what you have left over. It's easier that way and plan ahead. You know, now I'm definitely at one of the power users of Cuber, right? I use it all the time and I'm saving for longer term things that I want or that I need, and I have my emergency fund build up, but I also save for things that I know are going to come up in the next couple of months. Even things like as silly as, you know, getting my hair done, I save for it because those are things that before I would have put on my credit card and then paid it off. So now instead I save before knowing that it's going to happen. So I think just getting into the habit of saving first, then you'll see you don't have as much money left over to spend. And you figure out how to manage the money that you have left to spend. So you make different choices than you would have before.
Yeah. And for those folks who, you know, who's like, whoa, I have a big credit card debt. How can I save? Because I have to pay it down. What would you tell them?
Yeah, so we still recommend that people use Cuber, and we know we have actually some user stories that are in the app in blogs and things that you can access within the app or even on our website, actually, of people who were in that situation where they had credit card debt and they used Cuber. What they did was some people would put money in there similar to what I was saying every month or even every 6 months, they would let it grow the savings, and then they would take it out and plop it on their credit card. So it would be like an extra payment that they're making every 3 months or every 6 months to help bring that debt level down. And they were using, you know, we have so many different ways that you can save within Cuber. So even like a roundup rule makes, you know, you can save more than you think with just rounding up your change and saving it. We have some people who link their Fitbit and save money every time they do exercise. So all these little things accumulate money faster than you think. And then you have that pot of money, take it out and put it on your credit card.
So it's those micro steps to building wealth.
Definitely. Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. You know, Jen, I love talking about money and I know I could pick your brains a lot, but I have to end this conversation. So let's talk about what's putting a pep in your step and a pride in your stride right now these days. What are you doing for fun?
For fun? Well, today I just decorated my house for the holidays.
All right, awesome.
I'm actually headed to Montreal next weekend. So that'll be the first travel I think I've done in I don't know how long, many years. So that will be kind of a business trip, but I'll take a little bit of personal time there as well.
Good.
Yeah.
And what song you have that you're vibing to that just giving you that energy and that drive?
Well, it's very funny. So I knew you were going to ask this question, but this is an honest to God answer. So, one of my favorite songs right now is by Ed Sheeran, and it's called Bad Habits. And it fits really well into what we just talked about, but I really do love that song.
And that has a high vibe. You know, I love it too. All right. And in terms of a book, you know, that you would recommend for my audience, what would it be?
Yeah. So especially where it's Financial Literacy Month, I'll recommend a book that we recommend often to our users. And it's really for people who are just starting out on their financial literacy journey. It's called The Wealthy Barber. And you'll see his concepts of saving money and saving money first are talked about a lot in that book. And it aligns well with what we teach and what we do and what we believe in as well. So I would recommend that book. We've actually given that book out as prizes before to our users. So we give prizes out all the time with Cuber for, you know, different kind of contests that we run. And that's a book that we have given to some users and they've appreciated it.
All right. Awesome. Thank you for that. The Wealthy Barber. Yeah, I'm going to check that out. Now, if there is one last thing, one last few words of wisdom you want to tell our listeners, what would it be?
Well, you know, there's some interesting reading. There's a blog that we've recently kind of done some content swapping. And for any of your female listeners, especially, this might be very interesting to them. It's called Untangle Money. And what Christine does is she talks really about how finances need to be looked at differently between men and women. And it's very insightful to learn, like to see the difference, especially where it comes down to retirement and how, you know, the difference between how your money kind of grows and your jobs for men and women. And so how much money you should be putting away for retirement. Mm-hmm. At what point and how that differs between the genders, I find it very interesting, and I had no idea, and it was really kind of eye-opening. So yeah, I would definitely recommend having a look at what she does and what she writes about. I think it's quite eye-opening.
All right, thanks for that. I'm gonna drop that in the blog nugget on the side. All right. Awesome. So thank you, Jen. This was such a great conversation. I know that I'm going to have you back again on the show to give our listeners some great financial tidbits. So thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome.
This interview was conducted remotely in my mom's home studio.
Whoa, superstars, what a great conversation. I'm always fascinated by dynamic leaders who are making epic pivots in their life journey. If you love this episode, go ahead and hit the follow button wherever you listen to your podcast, whether it be on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Did you know that you can listen on the go with hands-free listening powered by Alexa for iOS and Android and all Echo devices if you're tuned into Amazon Music? Well, I love all my avid fans, and I most definitely want you to know first when new episodes become available. So go ahead, follow this podcast. Listeners, as I continue to build the Live with Irenia community, be sure to stay in touch with me. If you love reading blogs, head over to www.ireniarussell.org to get my latest golden blog nuggets. As well, you can put in a request to be a guest if you would like to share your fantastic story and come into the spotlight. I dare you to share your story, to inspire others all across Canada and around the world. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time,
I'm your host, Irina Rousseau.